Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is Harper v. Fulton County.
Thank you, Judge Easterbrook.
Mr. Stegall.
Thank you very much, Judge Easterbrook, Judge Stice, Judge Mannion. Been here before. It's been a while. But this is a Section 1983 sex discrimination equal protection case involving the treasurer of Fulton County, a small former coal mining county south of Peoria, against the Fulton County Board for well before the time that Harper was treasurer in 1994, with the one exception, the county clerk was paid the same compensation as the treasurer. The exception was that a Ronald Rumler was going to retire, and Harper agreed with it too, that, well, raise his salary for 2 years so he can max out his retirement. Jim Nelson, who a male took his place, and his salary went back, and it was comparable again. The legal issue in the appeal is involves Judge Member Reeves versus Sanderson Plumbing Projects says a inference of discrimination absent extraordinary circumstances where proof demonstrates the stated reasons weren't the actual reasons for the employment action. Reeves says that if you prove the stated reasons are untrue, the jury can make an inference, or fact finder can make an inference of discrimination.
What? Just make something else up?
What?
What do you said? With if there's the evidence isn't there, what could a jury then do?
Well, if there's a triable issue of fact on whether the stated reasons are untrue, the jury can infer discrimination. And this is important because the jury instruction takes a similar position of some of the cases of this court that Judge Mim followed. It says you have to prove more than statement was untrue.
Some cases, I would describe them as upwards of 100.
Well,
we have said often and early that it's not enough that the statement be wrong. It has to be a lie that is intentionally wrong. Now, the Supreme Court's never disapproved that. Your probability of getting us to overrule 100 decisions is very small. So the question is, can you satisfy this circuit standard?
Well, to finish my argument, five courts of appeals are to the contrary, but I guess this is the case to state that because, fortunately, the jury instruction was given in a trial where I had a plaintiff's verdict, but the jury instruction on those cases is telling you what is not, what factors you can't draw discrimination.
If you would address my question,
yes,
I would appreciate it. Can you satisfy this circuit standard?
Yes. And we look at just the record of what happened. I had been appointed a year earlier by the Circuit Court of Fulton County as a special attorney. The board said they wanted various accounting reports in certain form. The software wouldn't create those reports. And the treasurer was providing him an Excel on interest-bearing accounts. And they listed three things in the resolution where they voted to freeze her salary for 4 years. The Fulton County Board had refused the court order to pay my $3,150 bill to get started, or it's about that, and meet with the accountants and try to get agreement with the state's attorney, and if not, go to the circuit court and resolve the dispute. If the board were truly concerned about the accounting reports they were receiving, they would have followed the court's order and paid me to get it resolved. But they did not.
I don't understand, counsel, how any compensation dispute you personally have with the county bears on the issue in this case. And if the proposition is we should accept your testimony as a witness, that's not how litigation works.
Well, Judge, you should accept the court order and the record, which is undisputed. The bill was not paid at the meeting where the freeze
If you could forget your personal circumstances and address my question. I would appreciate it.
Well, I am. But
if this is your answer, I think your client is in trouble.
Then I am answering your question. It doesn't matter who the lawyer is. You have a legal dispute over what the treasurer can give them. The treasurer is an independent officer. Now, if they're dissatisfied with the reports, they had a court mechanism to resolve it. The software would not produce what they wanted.
The material point is that the county board viewed this lawsuit and thus the compensation that you were requesting for your services on behalf of your client in this lawsuit against the county as frivolous. And there is nothing in the record to suggest that that perception was either false or a lie. And that was only one basis upon which your client's salary was set. She was also late on a regular basis. She didn't invest the funds in a way that the county board thought she should be investing the funds as county treasurer. She didn't timely submit the reports. She didn't assist with budgeting. She really had a poor record of performance on the job as far as the county board was concerned, and they were entitled to set her salary accordingly.
Well, if you take the version of their facts, yes, but all those facts were disputed.
Okay, I understand that, but you have to show not only that they were wrong, but they were, as Judge Easterbrook has said, willfully wrong. In other words, that all of these asserted reasons for setting her salary lower than the clerks were a lie.
Well,
each and every one of them.
Well, the three resolutions, she was providing with the reports in Excel form. The combined reports, I can go through them. They wanted her to have the reports by the 28th day of the month.
Okay,
the first.
At best, what you've shown is that they were mistaken about some of these grounds. I don't know that there's anything in the record that supports the proposition that any of these grounds for setting her salary lower were willful lies.
Then I guess with respect, there's no need for a jury because you say this evidence must be construed that way. Reasonable minds could differ as to whether requiring you to submit accounting reports before they can be reconciled is not a willful excuse. Each of these can be attacked as willful and known. And you look at the difference in the investments. It's 2.7 versus 1.75. Her standard was the Illinois Public Investment Act, which required liquidity, not income. And she's an independent constitutional officer. If you want to ignore those very distinct limitations and ignore the glaring deficiencies of their statements about what is inadequate about her accounting reports and the circuit court's order to allow the means to be resolved, then I guess they do win. But if you want to ignore those facts in the record, you can. But each of the reasons they stated, there's strong proof that they willfully knew it was untrue. I mean, you had an Excel spreadsheet with the interest and the accounts listed. What does it matter that it's not combined with 12 pages of accounting software that wouldn't accommodate it? And also, she has a duty to provide accurate reports. If you want to ignore that evidence, yes, you can affirm. The other issue I would say legally is he excluded the opinion testimony. The court said, and it goes back to Wigmore, that if you have personal knowledge, the board members could certainly deny they had any sex bias. So we can't use somebody who was with them 12 years.
Thank you, Mr. Stiegel. Ms. Brook.
May it please the court, counsel. The only thing that is unique about this case is that it involves elected officials and their compensation as opposed to a private employer or any other employee. And under Illinois law, if you look to the Constitution, if you look to the Illinois compiled statutes, if you look to case law decisions, certainly a county board does have the authority to set different levels of compensation for elected officials. The only restriction that they have is that once they set that salary must remain in place throughout the course of that elected official's term of office. There's no question here that once the county board set the salary for the treasurer, they paid her that amount. Even if she never showed up to work, she would still be entitled to that money.
So she made that point repeatedly in her deposition, didn't she?
She did make that point.
How does she keep getting elected with that sort of attitude?
You know, Your Honor, the county board wonders that same question, but in any event, certainly the record is replete with evidence of the frustration that the county board members had with the performance of the treasurer. And it got to the point where on the evening that they voted on the compensation for 4 years, they in fact passed three resolutions that required the treasurer to work with the county board to provide the financial information that they were seeking. And certainly, without question, Ms. Harper disagreed with the county board's assessment of her work performance. Without question, she believed that they were being unfair and they were not treating her fairly. But when I took her deposition, I showed her a little slip of paper that one of the county board members, who was the chair of the finance committee, he had brought with into executive session, and he addressed the county board and said, these are the seven reasons why we believe that her salary should be frozen. And the testimony was that while she may have disagreed with the reasons that this county board member gave, she acknowledged that he legitimately could have had those feelings about her, and she understood and recognized that the county board was very frustrated with her job performance. So with that concession, Ms. Harper has failed to disprove the seven reasons why the county board gave for freezing her salary. She has not disproven any of the reasons that the county board gave for why they were satisfied and actually overjoyed with the effort that was given by the county clerk to go above and beyond what he needed to do his job, and that's why they rewarded him with a salary increase.
Because, well, looking at that comparative, because that seems to be that the board did take into consideration what Nelson did.
Yes.
And apparently he renegotiated the health insurance and everything and saved the county $160,000.
Correct.
He also put in a lot of extra time, coming in Saturdays and other times, not only not showing up, but showing up beyond that, and upgrading the IT functions, etc. So they gave him meritorious increases that were discerning. Her, when you compare, they were complaining about her, and I guess maybe that remark might have been a joke when she said she didn't have to show up, but even so, there were times when that was a complaint. Maybe there's a good deputy there that does stuff and you don't need to show up. I don't know. But with all that said, I look at the way they did discern from Nelson's own raises, that those were actually merited, and they the board took care of consideration of that, and I assume that they did the same when they were looking at her salary.
Exactly, and there is certainly nothing within Illinois law, in the Constitution, in the statutes, or in the case decisions that prohibit that type of consideration, and that's why the county board did that, and that would be really a frugal decision on their part and wise to reward performance that is above and beyond what the minimum required is. And because there's certainly no evidence in the record to disprove those reasons, our position is that the decision from the district court was correct and it should be affirmed. And unless there's any further questions from the panel, we would simply ask that the decision be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Stiegel?
Thanks for the very brief opportunity. I would say I'm not relying on my testimony. I'm relying on the order of the Circuit Court of Fulton County that was made under the County's Act to appoint me. And the judge thought this has to be resolved, and it's not for the county board to disobey a court order to pay the lawyer to resolve a dispute. So there was an independent order and a means under the county's code and the Illinois statute to resolve this. They chose to willfully ignore that, and there was a simple solution to it. I would have met with the accountants, the state's attorney, and I had reached agreement, I think, but we were never given that opportunity, and that is more than my compensation. That's ignoring the orders of court and the statutes of Illinois. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.